And yet we're not submitting. Do you understand what that means? Sorrows are going to come. Pain is going to come. But we get to choose. And I choose to not submit to sorrow. Because joy is here. Joy is present. The hope of the world is here. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Wow, Jesus is here in such a special way this morning. Such a special way. I almost just don't know what to do. I have a sermon. I have a feeling. But more than that, there's this joy. This joy. So you know what? We're just going to flow with it. I'm going to start with what I have, but if Jesus wants to interrupt, that's what this whole thing is about. We're going to let him interrupt, okay? So I don't want to throw you off your seats, but if something happens, we're going with it, okay? Are you going to go with me? Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. The joy. He truly is joy. He truly is peace. We come into Christmas and we have all the decorations. And we talk about the light that came into the world. And when he came into the world, it was a dark world. It was an evil world. It was a world full of political unrest. It was dark. But he came and he was the light. And his light continues to shine today through you and I. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you have taken down Christmas already? I knew there was some of you in the room. I probably would have joined you, but I've been sick this week. How many of you would leave Christmas up all year? Yeah, my daughter-in-law's hand was the first one up. She wants a Christmas room. Nothing but Christmas. I don't have a bonus room for that. Christmas. It's the most wonderfully busiest time of the year, isn't it? We get so busy in the hustle and the bustle, and sometimes we completely miss, even though we know, we completely miss what that's all about. And this morning, I want to spend a little bit of time reflecting still in the Christmas story. We're not quite away from it yet, so we can keep going. How many of you still have Christmases to go? There's a few of them. Last year was the first year that I ever had a Christmas in January. And I was like, this is amazing. Do you know why it was amazing? The stress of the immediate Christmas was gone. And I said to myself, we should do this again. Do you think I did it this year? No. We got all our Christmases done already. But here we are. Let's look into Luke. I'm reading this morning from the New King James Version. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What a greeting, ladies. Wow. When she saw him, she was troubled. Do you have the right person? Why would you greet me like that? Who are you? That's my paraphrase. The Bible says she considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." You know, I learned something interesting in my studies this year in Christmas. Did you know that Jesus was a common name? Just like John is a common name today. Amen, says John. I heard that. But seriously, Jesus was a common name. And the reason that it was a common name was because when they named their sons, when they named their children, they put a lot of meaning and a lot of emphasis behind that. There was declaration in it. And when they named their son Jesus, they were basically praying a prayer. It was an act of faith. They wanted to reflect the hope for God's salvation that was yet to come. It means Yahweh is salvation. And when I think about that and I think about how the scripture says his name shall be called Jesus, there's a few Jesuses around, but does anyone know a current modern day Jesus? We don't. It's not as common. So to us today, we think of it and we're like, Jesus, like we don't associate it with anything else. And I think about that and I think about how Jesus came, and it's just one more humble entry that he had to this world. And I think he chose and he chooses the humble so that he's relatable because he's a personal God. And he can redeem the ordinary with the supernatural. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. Where was I? Verse 31. Verse 32. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't even know a man? I don't know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born, to be born, will be called the Son of God. Can you imagine, ladies? How's that for a birth announcement? You're having a baby. How? I haven't even been with a man. Oh, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. I can imagine, wow, I can imagine the feelings of Mary. She's sitting there and she's listening, and then it's almost like God knows her and he says, I'm going to give her a little more affirmation here. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, here's the thing about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her much older cousin. I don't know exactly, like, if she was the first, fourth, fifth, sixth. She was a cousin. She was a relative. Much older. And Elizabeth was barren. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed and prayed and prayed. And I'm sure it was no family secret. They had prayed. For decades, they had prayed for a child. And there was no child to be born. And now Mary finds out she's having a baby, and so is Elizabeth. And Mary is just like, what's going on? For with God, verse 37 says, nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. Sweet, young Mary. I can only imagine how she felt. The scriptures don't give us a lot of details, but experience can sometimes help us to look into the story. And so today, for a few minutes, look into this story with me about Mary. No doubt, those words from that messenger, that stranger who suddenly appeared, no doubt those words echoed long in her mind. Favored one, the Lord is with you. You will conceive and bear a son. I imagine, ladies, you remember what it was like when you were first pregnant? The disbelief that there's a child growing in my womb. I imagine without even thinking, because it feels like it's almost just one of those natural things that happens when we carry a child. I imagine that she sat and she thought, well, nothing feels different, but everything felt different to her. How? How can this be? She asked. She remembered asking. And that answer, boy, that answer. Terrifying and amazing all at one time. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I imagine as she thought about these thoughts, then suddenly her thoughts were interrupted and she thought of Joseph. Joseph. What is Joseph going to think? This was her husband. This was a man that she was betrothed to. They did marriage a little bit different than we do it today, and though the Bible says she was betrothed, they were actually considered legally married, even though they had not come together in their home yet. What was Joseph going to think about this? No doubt he would feel betrayed. I mean, after all, this is the deepest shame that a woman could bring upon her husband. And the law was very clear. The law said that if this circumstance happens, death by stoning was the answer. So here's Mary, sitting in all of these emotions. Her life has been completely disrupted. Her life has been completely interrupted. And she's being told not to be afraid. All these thoughts, I'm sure, brought tears of loneliness. Who would believe her story? Who would believe her experience? After all, this had never been heard of. This has never happened before. Would her parents believe her? Would Joseph no longer take kindly to her? In her heart, she knew because of the experience that she had. She knew that she was carrying the hope of Israel, but she also knew that the world would only see sin. She knew what God said, but she knew what the people would think. The words of the messenger returned, "For God, with God, nothing shall be impossible." I'm sure those words brought comfort. I'm sure they helped to push away the fear. God was with her. And no doubt there was a peace. There was a peace that settled over her because of her response. "Let it be to me according to your will." Those are some very big words from a very young woman. I have no doubt that Mary was busy making plans. Plans for what her family would look like. Plans for what the home that her and Joseph would share in Nazareth. She was busy making plans. And now, in an instant, these plans were completely disrupted by a divine call for her to mother the Messiah. A calling that gave her and offered her a very deep, honorable, spiritual meaning. But it also carried with it a social stigma, an assumption from others. There was a mixed bag that Mary carried. You see, sometimes God steps into our nice, neat, comfortable world, and he interrupts us. He doesn't do it because he's trying to poke the bear. He interrupts us, and it feels sometimes very disruptive. It feels like the price is high when he interrupts us. I don't know what your interruption looks like today. Maybe he's calling you to a new career, or maybe he's calling you into a new ministry that feels very intimidating. Maybe he's after you and he's convicting you of some sin in your life that he wants you to correct. Or maybe he's after you this morning and he's saying, "You know that broken relationship? I want you to try to fix it." It's humbly painful sometimes what he calls us and asks us to do. Maybe he's asking you to serve in a way that disrupts your calendar, that interrupts the flow of your plan. I don't know what he's calling to you. Maybe there's a sickness that you're facing. Life's interruptions. You can have a just like Mary moment where she says, how can this be? I mean, for Mary, it was pretty simple. How can this be? I haven't even known a man. We all know how biology works. How can this be? It was a very honest question. And sometimes interruptions in our life come and we look at it and we're like, God, how can this be? I served you. I gave my tithes. Whew. How's he going to take that? How can this be? I gave you my time. How can you do this to me? My life has been interrupted. I think about the last year of my life, and it has been one interruption after another. This time last year, I couldn't even see straight because our life was so interrupted. Our life was disrupted. The safe haven that I thought I had was not there. And then when I barely could get my feet on the ground after the shooting in my son's classroom, my neighbor's son died in our backyard. And I was like, God, I don't know what's going on here. Where are you? I hear about the hope. I hear about the light that you are, but where are you? Because right now everything feels really, really dark. And you start to recover a little bit from that, and then all of a sudden my husband has a massive heart attack that literally within a minute he could have been gone. And I remember how shaken I was and how much I questioned myself. But you see, I noticed something. When I was focused on me, I was inadequate. When I was looking at me, I didn't measure up. When I saw me, I wasn't enough. I thought I was. But life disrupted everything, and it showed me that I wasn't. But do you know what it showed me? It showed me that he was enough. That in the midst of the hard, and in the midst of the evil, in the midst of the difficult, in the midst of the pain, he was enough. He was enough, and he is enough. I'll never forget the moment of John struggling in our dining room, and we're both like, what do we do? Is this a heart attack? Do we do something? Do we go in? Is it heartburn? What's going on? And I remember just feeling this, like my head is just literally like, I don't know what to do, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget the moment that the Holy Ghost pushed me and said, you have to get him out of here, and you have to go now. And I ran, and I grabbed a bag because he was ready to throw up, and I said, we have to go. And he didn't question me. He just said, okay. And he got in the truck, and we drove, and I ran red lights, and I ran stoplights, and I got him to the hospital in 4 minutes. 4 minutes, and I didn't know what to do, but I looked at my husband, who was gray, sitting in the seat next to me, and I was like, God, what do I do? And I ran in, and I said, my husband's having chest pain, and I need help. And I ran back out because I knew they would follow me, and they did. And the Lord ordered every single step. I had zero control. There was nothing that I could do, but he orchestrated every step from the moment he pushed me in our dining room and said, you have to go now. From the moment we got in the truck and he safely got us there, he placed every person that needed to be where they needed to be at that moment for that moment. Because he is in control, and he sees above every interruption and every disruption in our life, and he says, I've got you, but do you trust me? Amy, they did their job. Within 90 minutes of that moment in our home, he was in the hospital where I could not find him. But it was done. The stent was placed. The artery was open. The shocking was over, literally. Thank God I missed it. God ordered every single step. We were in the ER. I remember them saying, we can't get an ambulance for 20 minutes. And I'm looking at the blood pressure monitor, and I believe it was like 220 over 170. And I remember looking at that, and I'm like, dear Lord, please no. And the nurse saw me, and she came over, and she said, it's okay. It's saving his life right now because it's keeping his arteries open. Every step of the way, he knew. I didn't know what to do, but he knew what he was doing. Later, the doctor talked to us and she shared about what a miracle it is that he is here today. They call it the widow maker. And when I saw the screen, and when I saw the photo, I understood. And let me tell you, there was a moment of shaking. Another moment of shaking. But while I was shaking, I was determined that I would not be shaken. There's a difference. Don't let the enemy come in and tell you that your response, your perfectly human response, means you don't have faith. It means you're human. Can we just get that out there? You're human. And sometimes life is really hard. And I have to tell you this morning, my notes are gone. None of this was in here. We're going with Jesus. I don't even know. We might go back to the notes, we might not. But I believe that God wants to say something to us today. He wants us to understand that we don't have to be in control. We can make plans, but what he's looking for is a heart like Mary that says, let it be in me as you desire to do. It's really easy to say those words, but man, Lori, it's hard to live them, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to admit that we have zero control. We want it. Oh, we want it. But life's interruptions. Now, when I'm talking about interruptions, I'm not meaning consequences of dumb choices. How does that saying go? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. That's a fact. Right? I'm talking about when you're doing everything you know to do. When you're trying to do the best that you know to do, and then life interrupts you. We have options in these moments. We can look at them and we can say, nope, that wasn't the plan. I'm not doing it. Or we can stop and we can pause. And we could say, okay, God, that came out of nowhere. What is that, young people? Airball? Curveball? Like, which one do we go with there? The math ain't mathin'? Yeah. I teach the young people once or twice a month, and I have to stay current on my lingo. Or they don't understand what you're saying, and you're like, oh, I feel old. But when the math ain't mathing, what does that mean? It means that I'm doing this, and I'm expecting that. The enemy will trip you up every single time, not because God is not present, not because God is not faithful, not because God is not working, but because you thought he should have done something else. I am fully aware that I am standing here today. I am gratefully aware that I am standing here today with my son and with my husband. We came within a minute of me being without both. And I recognize that there are some that that is not the outcome. But there are moments of loss in my life that you know nothing about. There are moments of loss after loss after loss after loss that you know nothing about. But I know a God who's merciful. And I know a God who sees us in the hard. I know a God who sees us in the pain. I know a God who sees us in the confusion. And we have to remember this morning, we have to remember that he is present. He is here. We have to push away the noise. And sometimes the noise is not around us, but it's within us. Sometimes we have to find a way to silence the noise that says, you know what, God, I'm feeling really vulnerable right now. I'm feeling really hurt right now because I feel like you've lied to me. I feel like the agreement that I signed up for is not the one that you're giving me. That's how I feel, but I know that you cannot lie. I know that you are truth. I know that you are my comforter. I know that you are my counselor. I know that you are my helper. I know that you are an ever-present help. And I'm struggling, but I need you. And I'm grabbing for you, Jesus, because I know you're here. Sometimes life is not going to go the way that you have planned. Be careful for the voices that you allow to speak into your life in those vulnerable moments. Because there are voices who will side with you. Say, it's okay, Tim. You can keep that chip on your shoulder. You can't. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be bitter. God didn't answer your prayer. It's okay. You deserve better. Who says? Who says? You got to ask yourself, God, what is it? What is it in this interruption? What is it that you're trying to say to me? Not what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to do to me? Because you see the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, his whole plan. His whole plan wasn't to make you happy. His plan was to transform you. His plan was to restore you into his image. And sometimes when he's working to do that, it hurts. It's painful. And we pull away and we say, no. That hurts, Jesus. I don't want to do that. You're supposed to make me feel good. You're supposed to make me feel happy. I don't feel very blessed right now. And he's saying, no. Let me do the work. But we resist the work of the Spirit rather than being filled with the Spirit. You see, the greatest gift that God gave us, he came, he wrapped himself in flesh. He came as a baby in a manger. It's a really sweet story. It's a really cute nativity. But beyond that, he came. He came for a purpose, and his purpose was to die for your sins, for my sins, to redeem us to himself. And he said, you know what? I see how my people struggle. I see how they hurt. I see how it's hard. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to heaven. Well, thanks, Jesus. Sometimes I wish he would have stayed. But can you imagine trying to get into that church service? Because you know we all would want to be at Jesus' church, right? And I think he understood that. And he said, you know what? Even better than that, I'm going to leave you my Spirit. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I want to not just visit with you on Christmas. I want to dwell in you. I want to be with you and in you always. And so he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to help us, to equip us, to empower us for those moments when life is hard, for those moments when life is painful. You're human. As long as you live on this side of heaven, you're not going to like me for this, but you're going to have pain. You're going to have struggle. And if you don't, are you growing? Probably not. But what do you do in those moments? How are you filled with the Spirit? Some people look, they assess, oh, I know she's filled with the Spirit because I hear her speak in tongues. I know I'm filled with the Spirit because I speak in tongues. It's not about how often or how long that you speak in tongues. I would say we know you're filled with the Spirit when the Spirit has more say in your life than your feelings. When the Spirit has more say in your life than social media. When the Spirit has more say in your life than your plans. Because that's what he's after. As he fills us, he transforms us and he changes us. He's about disrupting all of this. As much as we don't like it, he's after that. Because he wants to empower us for his work, for his plans, for his purposes. But we have to open our hands. We have to open our hearts. We have to open our calendars. We have to open our homes. We have to open ourselves and says, let it be to me according to your will. Praise God. Olivia, you can come. Jesus. He's here. He's here. He's been here. He's always here. When you're there, he's there. When you're here, he's here. He's always present. We just don't always notice. And that's not on him. That's on us. But when we stop and we look and we listen and we turn down the noise in our lives and we sit in the calm and we sit in the silence, the uncomfortable silence, what is he asking? I rebuke the lies of the enemy this morning that's telling you that he's not with you, that he's forgotten you, that he's abandoned you, that you aren't good enough, that you don't measure up. Because the truth of the matter is, he loves you, he is for you, and he is more than enough. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how smart you think you are or how smart you think you aren't. It doesn't rest on you. What he's looking for from you is someone who's available to let him dwell in. Because you see, when his spirit is inside of us, he empowers us. The difference of God's people who weather storms isn't that they went through that storm. It's that they came through that storm standing with Jesus. In my devotions a couple weeks ago, I came across this saying, and I just keep thinking about this, and I keep thinking about it because it's so true. And it was talking about how the armor of God is given to us not to shield us from being human, but to shield us while we're being human. He's not a God who's left and said, figure it out. He's not a God who said, you messed up and you made a mistake. It's over. I'm done with you. You're done. No. He's a God who says, I see you. I love you. I am for you. Come to me. There are voices and there are people who will point fingers. Don't listen to those voices. Learn to hear his. In the midst of whatever it is, in the midst of the shaking, there is one who never shakes. He is always faithful. He is always constant. He is always true. Stand with me this morning. I truly believe that there is something that God wants to do in the hearts of each and every one of us, but not every one of us will respond. We'll resist. What if Mary had resisted? No doubt she understood this was going to be hard. I think she understood that because when we look in the scriptures, she went away to her cousin Elizabeth's house for a few months. And I think Elizabeth knew it was going to be hard as an old woman to birth a child and to raise a child, to keep up with that toddler. And the scriptures tell us that she hid away for 5 months. What if, when life interrupts us, instead of running to social media, we ran to Jesus? What if, when life is disrupted, we learn to sit at the feet of the one who loves us most and say, okay, God, this is hard and I don't know what to do. It's okay that you don't know what to do, because he knows. And he sees above it. He sees through it. and he wants to take you through whatever life's interruption is. Because he's after you, and he's after your heart for eternity. That's what he's after. So as we wrap up this Christmas season, as we step into 2026, as we begin to make plans, maybe this morning we just set those down and we come before him and we say, let it be to me according to your will. You don't have to do it alone. He's with you and he desires to dwell in you, to empower you with his grace. He wants to pour his mercy on you. He loves you. This morning, I invite you to come if you need a few moments where you just want to talk to Jesus. A few moments just to say, hey, Lord, it's been hard. Or maybe, God, it's been way too easy. I still need you. I still want you. I still want to be after you. And everything that I do, let it be to me according to your will. All of my plans, I give them to you. My calendar, my time, my thoughts, I surrender them into your hands and ask you, Lord, to do what only you can do.